Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything, not for everything. There's a lot of bad things that happen to good people. And there's good things that happen to bad people. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. So you don't have to be happy about your situation, but you do have to have gratitude for God that He is the God in your situation. I'm thanking God in everything that I'm facing. I have gratitude for God because of what He has done in my life. Verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians 5 goes on to say that giving thanks in everything, give thanks. Listen to this, church. This is a different, we kind of preach about that first part, but we don't preach the last part. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I read something amazing. You know what you means in Greek? You. You know what it means in Hebrew? You. You know what it means in Aramaic? You. We look at God's will for our life and we like to make it so deep and so just, I mean, the evolution of our thought and man, what is God's will for my life? God tells you right here in 1 Thessalonians, one of my wills for your life is for you to live a life of gratitude. That in everything that you are facing, in everything that comes down the pike, in everything that is in front of you, no matter what it is, I've learned to give thanks to God and to have gratitude, for this is the will of God. However, before we get to verse 18, if we go back to verse 16 and read the next 8 verses, God gives us literally a checklist of ingredients. How many of you are good cooks? Just raise your hand. Okay, I'm making mental notes of who said they're good. I'll be the taste tester for Thanksgiving. Now, none of you just in 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks, none of you will just show up in your kitchen. You're going to plan. You're going to go spend way too much money on groceries. Come on now. I think we ought to pitch in this year. If you're going to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, take them $50. All the people cooking say amen. All the people hosting say amen. You know what the hosts are thinking? $50, that gets like a gallon of milk and 5 dozen eggs. We're going to need like 100 spot at least. But you get your ingredients together. You either have them brought to your house through shipped or through HEB delivery. You make your list. You put it out all on the counter on Wednesday night after you come to midweek service. Praise God. You get ready. You get everything ready because the ingredients by themselves don't make a great meal. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, let me help somebody that you've heard this verse, but maybe you didn't understand the revelation. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. How many of you love like pies and cakes? I've made some pies in my life. Your boy in my sophomore year of high school is an easy credit, took home economics. And we went to the grocery store and we bought things and we made meals and all of these things. But one of the main ingredients in a lot of pies is vanilla extract. Have you ever tasted vanilla extract on its own? It's horrible. And a little bit goes a very long way. See, a lot of us are judging our mood and our gratitude based on one ingredient that God has given us. Or one ingredient that life has shown up and given us. But because we won't allow all things to work together, we call it bad. Why would God do this? Why hasn't God done this? You are judging the will of God for your life based on the vanilla extract of the Spirit, and because you didn't like how it tasted by itself and wouldn't allow God to take a little flour over here and sugar over here and start mixing things and making things. Can I encourage you? Don't tell me the movie's terrible until the credits have rolled. And if you are sitting here today, the credits have not rolled. You are in the second act of a 10-act play. You are in the third chapter of a 12-chapter book. I'm here to tell you, the reason I have gratitude is I'm still standing. And even though I don't like the way life tastes right now, and even though I don't like how it looks right now, and it smells a little off right now, God said, just put it together, put it in the oven. You're going to have to give me about 45 minutes or an hour. You're going to have to give me till 2025, 2027. But at the end of this process, you're not going to share that pie with anybody. It's going to taste so good. But we make decisions based on the ingredients that God has given us singularly instead of letting him work together for our good. Somebody say amen. So God gives us this checklist of ingredients for every believer in 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Somebody say rejoice. Rejoice means to get joy again. Rejoice means you've already had it, get it again, or you've already done it, get it again. You know, there is part of our flesh, I'm sure, I've thought about this because my mind gets way too analytical sometimes. But I think, man, 52 Sundays a year, we come into this building. We have three or four songs played. The announcements are played. The offering is received. The preacher preaches. People come to an altar and we leave and go to lunch. And we repeat that 52 Sundays, 52 Wednesdays a year. However, if we look at things that way, number one, we rob ourselves of the value of the moments that God has here. I think of how many dinners I've had with Pastor Mandy. Every dinner is great. The conversation is great. But at the end of the day, some dinners are better than others. Sometimes the steak wasn't cooked like it was supposed to. Sometimes the service, that would be the pastor, the wait staff wasn't as good as or attentive as they should have been. But I never quit eating because what I'm eating is really not the main course. It's who I'm eating with that is the main course. We will hear the tired expression here about the holidays, especially when it comes to Christmas. It's not about the gifts under the tree. It's about the people around the tree. And that sentiment is not lost on me. But when we come into this building, it is not for three songs and 3 points of a sermon and we leave. It is like, okay, God, that service today was strong. But I like last week's service seemed to be smoother. And last week's message was a little bit, but at the end of the day, you're not coming for me. I'm not coming for you. I'm coming to spend time with God. So doing what brings us joy again and again. It not only tells us to rejoice, but every one of these, it tells us how to do it. Rejoice always or evermore. That means always rejoice. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Always rejoice. We're talking about the ingredients of gratitude and the ingredients of having the mood that never changes. The Bible says this in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Some of us, the first time God's heard from us since last Thanksgiving will be this Thanksgiving. Why is it the only time God hears from us is when we're getting ready to bow our heads to eat something? Some of us don't even pray for our food anymore before meals at the beginning of the year, January 1st. God bless all the food I'm going to eat this week. Some of y'all be laying hands on the grocery cart as you leave HEB. Lord, bless all this food that I'm going to eat over the next 5 days. The Bible says pray without ceasing. What does that mean? We look at prayer as taking a knee at an altar, but this is what prayer without ceasing really means is it's never stop the dialogue between you and God. Always be talking. Always allow him to speak in your life. Always allow his voice to be glaringly clear in your life and then talk back. If you are like me, you've got 3 or 4 friends that you have a running text thread with that you're sending them memes and you're texting them and they're texting you and every one of us has a family chat and I've got all kinds of, I got a direct line, just me and Mandy are in that chat. And then I've got one with me, Mandy, and Jaden. Then I got one with me, Mandy, Jaden, and Tyler. Then I got one with me, Mandy, Jaden, Tyler, and Alyssa. Then we got one with just me, Mandy, and Alyssa, where we talk about the other two kids. But that dialogue's always open. I could be the busiest I am in the middle of the day and I could still get texts from them because they don't know what I'm doing. Here's the thing about prayer. A lot of us have regulated prayer to a service, or we have regulated prayer to a season of our life when we think we need prayer or we need to talk to God. But this is what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Always have an open dialogue with God. God, that was good. God, I don't like how that happened. God, I need your help today. And then God also can say, hey, stop what you're doing right there. That's not going to bring life and life in abundance. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, we've already talked about, in everything give thanks. Give thanks in everything, in every situation. Verse 19, we're talking about the ingredients, that gratitude is one of the main ingredients. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Oh, let the spirit flow. If I had my number one objective to a lot of churches in our nation is they have quenched the spirit. And they have quenched the spirit not because they don't love God, not because they don't want to see people helped, but because they have to have four services and they've got to get people in and get people out. They have fallen in love more with the schedule than they have with the Savior. Listen, I've got plans today. Me and Mandy have already ordered our food, and it's gonna be ready at Texas Roadhouse so I can pick it up on the way home at 1:30 today. However, if the Holy Ghost hits today, it's already paid for. They're not going to worry about it if I don't come over there. If the Holy Spirit hits right now, I'll go buy Sonic on the way home. It doesn't matter. My schedule does not, God does not revolve around my schedule, but I'm bending my schedule around Him. Sometimes we look at quenching the Spirit as looking at pornography and getting drunk and running around on our spouse. Sometimes quenching the Spirit is just you being selfish and not allowing God the time and the space to do what He wants to do. Can I encourage you? You are not your own. I am not my own. God purchased me with a price. Therefore, He owns me. If He owns me, He owns my eternity, but He owns my now too. So if He says, stop and do this, I've got to stop and do this, because if I ignore Him, I'm quenching the Spirit. So many of us want the Spirit to flow on our terms. So many of us want the Spirit to move on our terms. He says, quench not the Spirit. Let the Spirit flow. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. That simply is listening and following prophecy. Antonyms for despise is accept and praise. So accept prophecy. Praise prophecy. Let me just help. And there's nobody in this room today, I don't think, but there's somebody watching online that needs to hear this. It said accept prophecy and praise prophecy, not prophets. And we've got prophets who want all the accolades on them. And we got prophets that want all the influence to be because of them and what they said. Listen, at the end of the day, I don't care who the messenger is. I just want to know what God said so I can govern my life by what He said. At the end of the day, I don't want Living Way famous. I don't want to be famous. I want Jesus to be famous. And like John, I must decrease so that He can increase. But for that to happen, I must fall in love with prophecy. You say, Pastor, when you say prophecy, what are you talking about? Should we be finding the prophets of 2024. You know, the greatest prophetic word that you can ever receive is not going to come from the mouth of man. It's going to come from God's word that has already been written and established, and it's going to come straight from the Holy Spirit. The greatest prophet I know is the Holy Spirit. Because a prophet says what God says, and a prophet sees what God sees. The Holy Spirit is God. So when the Holy Spirit talks to Brandon about 2025, it is telling me what is on the heart of God, what is on the mind of God, and what is in the future of Brandon. And I love when God talks to me about the future. Can I just help somebody? Quit listening to CNN and Fox News about your future. This last election, and it's fresh on our minds. You can't believe any poll. You can't believe any pollster. You can't believe anything you're reading or anything you're hearing. They are trying to manipulate us. We are sheep, but we are not sheep to the government. We are sheep in the pasture of God, and what He says is what we follow. Verse 21, prove all things. If you've been there for our Wednesday night last session on righteous, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove means to measure. Measure everything by the word of God. Church, measure everything by the word of God, not your mother-in-law and her opinion, not your pastor and his opinion. Measure everything by the word of God. I will say this at least once a month until I die. When I preach something from this pulpit, or what the old generation would say is a sacred desk, which it is, I need you to understand that I am a man that is flawed. And sometimes I can get in my feelings. And you need to be able to hear what God is saying and take home what is preached here in this church and compare it to the word of God and say, man, I love Pastor Brandon, but he missed it on Wednesday. I love Pastor Brandon, but on Sunday, that wasn't it. You need to be able to do that. And listen, I give you permission. If I miss it two or three times in a month, you need to find another church to go to. Because I'm not worth following or listening to. So we measure everything. I thought I'd get a better amen there than that. I'm saying that about me. You can amen it. I'm saying it about me. But I'll say it about any other pastor. I listen to podcasts. And every once in a while, they'll say something that is so diametrically opposed to the word of God. But because I measure it to the word of God, and because I'm a mature believer, hello, I can say that is not true. However, the last 9 months of content they released have really blessed me, have really helped me mature and grow, and I've really been able to take a step up. So I'm not going to let one crazy thing they said in November make me delete that podcast. Now, if they say it again in December and they say something else crazy in January, I might need to find me another podcaster. But here's the other thing, church. I don't even know why I'm going in on this, but somebody needs to hear this. The most word I get is not from podcasters or preachers. The most word I get is straight from God's word. Why do I want, come on, some of you were delivered from Catholicism. Don't go back to the middleman. You've got a straight connection with Jesus. And anytime we start talking about Catholicism, everybody gets quiet. That's the old you. We love the Catholics, praise God. That was a good place to say amen. Y'all are quiet today. I'm the dude up here wearing a rainbow shirt. And listen, if we're going to throw down, it's going to be over the shirt, not over me talking about verse 22. For those of you who don't, this is the second time I've worn this shirt. This is my buddy Andrew Willis. Andrew, if you're watching, I'll send this clip to you later. It says, give me back my rainbow. And the appropriation culture has gone crazy. Everybody talks about, well, my culture started this, and it's for us and not for you. The appropriation culture that's been stolen the most is church. They've stolen our worship leaders, they've stolen our music, and they've stolen our symbols. This symbol is a symbol of promise, not pride. My name is Brandon Fender, and I approve this message. All right. Verse 22, abstain. I'm out of time. Abstain. Ooh, this is a good one. From all appearance of evil. This goes back. And we're talking about gratitude. We're talking about a foundation of gratitude. Mature believers don't ask, can I? Mature believers ask, should I? Should I? Is it going to help me and be beneficial to me? But is it also going to help and be beneficial to the people that are around me? There are certain things that Manny and I do not do, that we do not take part in, not because I think it would send us to hell, but because we will give an account of every word, deed, and action that we say or that we do. There are things in our life that listen, and I was talking to somebody the other day. I have talked to pastors that have wanted us to vacation with them. And they have what is called the 100-mile rule. If you're 100 miles from your church, anything goes. They can do what they want, say what they want, smoke what they want, sleep what they want. I'm about to make a statement that will shock you. I have been invited to strip clubs by more pastors than when I was living for the world with a bunch of worldly guys. And I'm able to say that I have said no, not just no, but I said it a different way. I almost said it here, but if Bishop's watching, he would not be happy with me. I said no, and I said, not only is it a no, I'm not going to let you do it. Oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, then I will fly back gladly to where I came from. And so whether it is active sin or whether it causes someone to sin, I'm going to abstain from it. A life of gratitude, you say, how does this mix with gratitude? A life of gratitude will not let us forget where we came from. A life of gratitude, church, will not let you forget what God delivered you from. And so just because you can handle it now, you got to realize that eyes are looking to you as a believer. The enemy is looking for an occasion to blaspheme God and say, oh, I knew all those believers are like that. I knew those believers. And listen, I don't ever want to be someone's reason for not making it to heaven. And I never want to be somebody's reason for not living up to God's glorious ideal for their life. When I get to heaven and when you get to heaven, I want dozens of people to run up to me and say, thank you for leading. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for pastoring. Thank you for serving, because it was at a block party, or it was on a Sunday service, or it was at the HEB when you took time to minister to me and to give me your testimony. I want all of that. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but man, you made a couple questionable decisions. There were some people that I was relying on you to lead them to me, and you led them away from me because you could not abstain from even the appearance of evil. Not can I, should I. Don't give the perception of evil or sin. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give anyone else a reason to stumble. And this is where we're going to end today. Verse 23. I'm going to read it in two translations, King James Version and New Living Translation. Remember everything that he's just said. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Verse 23, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the NLT translation. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way and make you whole, make your spirit whole and soul and body be kept blameless unto our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Gratitude, and a foundation of gratitude for the believer's life, does this, church. It's one of the main ingredients to make your life holy and whole. Go back to verse 23, NLT. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. If you want to live a life of gratitude, you're going to have to be holy, not in our eyes, in God's eyes. But I love how God doesn't just leave it in the spiritual application or implications. He brings it to the physical, because he said, not only will I make you whole in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body. I love that. The wholeness, holiness, and wholeness. I love that, because there are people in this room today, standing on your feet all over the room. There are people in this room today that the reason you're here is a holy issue. But then there's somebody sitting in front of you or across the aisle that's here for a wholeness issue. There's some that are saying, God, there's something going on in my spiritual life that I cannot fix, and God, I need you to step in, because I've been dealing with symptoms, and God, there's some things beyond the surface. I got to dig deep. There's some soul issues, some spirit issues that I need you to work in. I need to be holy. Remember, it is a command of God, be ye holy as I am holy. So when we talk about holiness, we are talking about not the man's definition of holiness. My parents grew up in a denomination where it was legalism, and you had to do this and you couldn't do this, and you had to do these 20 steps and you couldn't. Listen, Pastor Becky, she was 35 years old before she ever cut her hair, pierced her ears, wore makeup, or went to a movie theater. All because you couldn't do those things and be holy. I got news for you. Some of the most devilish people I know were doing all of those things. And some of the most holy people I know right now are covered in tattoos. Got a testimony. So it's not an outward thing. It's, God, I want to be simply like you. Be holy as I am holy. But then there are people in this room today that you say, Pastor, the spirit man in me, I've got peace. But man, life has really thrown me some curveballs this year. I'm out of money. My relationship is broken. There's things going on at my job. There's things going on between me and my children. There's a lot of struggling, and there's a tug of war, it seems like, between the spirit and the... what you're talking about is not holiness, it's wholeness. But what I love about God is he says here in verse 23 that he is the God of peace, and he is the God of holy and whole. So here's the thing, church, it doesn't matter what your need is in here. I say it doesn't matter. It matters, but it doesn't matter in the eyes of God, because God just sees a need that he wants to meet. But it's going to take surrender. See, some of us want the wholeness without holiness. It's hard to get whole unless you're going to look like God, talk like God, walk like God, be like God. My life is blessed. I know a lot of blessed people in this room today. Our lives look diametrically different than when we first came to Christ. However, like Paul, I have not arrived. I still reach forward and press forward to the high calling of Christ, to holiness. And so what I've found in my life as I get older, I quit praying so much for wholeness, and I pray a lot more for holiness. So I want to open this altar right now for those of you, you hear the call of Christ saying to you, I need you to be holy as I'm holy. I need you to start looking like me. I need you to start sounding like me. Come on, let's celebrate them. Man, they're streaming down from the back to the front. God bless you. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Let's celebrate them as they come. This is a step of faith. This takes guts to step out and say, God, I don't feel as holy as I need to be, but God, I know that I'm in the right place. Not in Living Way. That's not the right place. The right place is you're in his presence today. And you're in his hand today. No man can pluck you out. Remember this. If you're in the hand of God and no man can pluck you out, that means the only way you can ever get out of the hand of God is you got to jump out. Don't jump. Don't jump. Stay right where you are, praise God, in his presence. But I do want to talk to the wholeness people. Looking for wholeness. Looking for something tangible in your life. I want to talk to the single that you want to be married so bad. And that's a missing piece in your life. Can I tell you, there is something far worse than being single. It's being hooked up with the wrong person. God's timing is perfect. He does all things well. But in this moment, be grateful. You say, what do I have to be grateful for? I'm alone. That is a thing to be grateful. I'd rather be alone. God, I'm grateful for the season that I'm in right now. You are making me everything I need to be. And God, of my future mate, God, you are creating them, God, and in them, God, what you need them to be, so that when we meet, God, and our paths cross, God, a perfect spouse and a perfect me meet. That's what gratitude sounds like. God, I don't like my job right now. I don't like my coworkers. My boss is unfair, and there's things going on here that I'm not comfortable with, God. But Lord, I'm grateful that I've got a job that every 2 weeks it pays my bills. And God, I'm grateful that you've opened up doors for me to minister. And I'm grateful, God. That's what gratitude sounds like. In everything, give thanks. But God, my wholeness says there's more than just this job. There's a career out there. There's a career out there, God, that I'm going to wake up loving, God, that's going to pay me twice what I'm worth, God. That's what gratitude sounds like. Gratitude sounds like, God, I'm in the valley, but I'm grateful that I have another day to climb out of this valley. So I don't know what you're missing, and I don't know what wholeness you need, but I do know this, that God is in this room. And that Jesus is bigger than November. He's bigger than a Thanksgiving holiday. And he said, I want to change your mood by letting you step on the foundation of gratitude and have it transform your entire life. Pastor Manny and the team are laying hands. I'm going to lay this microphone down and lay hands on you, myself, and add my faith. Listen, there is nothing special about us that are praying for you other than we know Jesus. And I believe that God moves through us and moves into you and vice versa. And so as we pray the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement today, I pray that God right now would speak to you things in your ears, but most importantly in your spirit, that you've never heard before, that will alter your destiny, your tomorrow, and your future. I see parents here with their teenage kids. Man, I love seeing young people in this altar, but I love seeing families in this altar. There's nothing wrong with you missing a piece of your life. But there is something wrong with you staying that way. gratitude in everything, give thanks. This is your moment. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, this world is shaking, it's quaking.